This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
He brought back!
Boss, you got VCD with Takeshi Kamishiro.
Jangan panggil gua boss. My name is Jason.
Got London name also, are you? Jason, do you have films with Takeshi Kaneshiro?
Got. You want Fallen Angels, Chongqing Express or Yes or No, Sir?
Can I have Yes or No, Sir, please? So cute, eh?
Cute lah. Tapi sepet sikit, mantap je.
Sepet lah, best. Like you don't already know my taste, is it?
Miss. 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 Thank you, ma'am, eh?
Mungkin dia ada cakap ni. Okay.
Bye-bye, okay.
Bye-bye, Jason. Bye-bye, Takeshi.
BFM 89.9, it is 7:38 and you are listening to Popcorn Culture. I'm Lee Chui Lin calling in from home and in the studio, I'm just going to start the other way. In the studio is Arvind Yuvaraj, and then we also have Sharmila Ganesan at home. And today, our special guest, we have Nadia Hamza, who is a filmmaker joining us as well. Her feature film, Motive, came out in 2019. Nadia, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So Nadia is here because we wanted to talk today about Malaysian cinema, and we didn't feel that it would be right to do it without somebody who is actually active in the scene, as opposed to us just sort of, there's no polite way to say this, blathering along. So, so thank you very much, Nadia. And I guess we opened with what is kind of, I think, one of the most known Malaysian films in recent years.
Yeah, I think so. And we talked about this a little bit when we did our throwback to P. Ramlee 2 days ago as well, that often, unfortunately, when it comes to Malaysian cinema, there tends to be the sort of two or three titles that keep getting thrown around, even though it's really been decades. And so you have your P. Ramlee and your Yasmin Ahmad. And not that they're not worth looking at, but I think it's unfortunately both a strength and a limitation of what Malaysian cinema means, that for many of us, it's almost always limited to a very few things.
Strength and limitation is such a nice way of putting it, because when I was thinking about when we were researching this episode and what we would talk about, I was thinking about what picture comes to my mind when I think about Malaysian cinema. Like, what is the first image that pops up? And it's very difficult. And I don't know if it's because we are Malaysian and we are exposed to all the movies that come out, or if it's because it's a mixed bag, right? And I think Sepet is one of those films like that immediately pop. But at the same time, I can't, if you ask me to make like a collage of four images that I think of when I think of Malaysian cinema, I don't think I'd be able to do it. It's very difficult to sort of compartmentalize and give it a picture, I think.
Nadia, when we say Malaysian cinema, and like we said, I mean, you would be more intimately involved with this than the rest of us. What kind of comes to mind first up?
I mean, of course, all of this, I'm just going to answer, and whatever answer I give would be like relative to me from my understanding. I would say that Malaysian cinema are films that are produced and made in Malaysia, basically telling Malaysian stories. It is just so unfortunate. A lot that comes, the first thing that comes to mind when you say Malaysian cinema might be Malay cinema. And I think Sepet is such a defining film because it's that one movie that managed to penetrate across all races and everybody went out to watch it. Because it was so present, and I think there's like a really burgeoning industry. Like there's like there's Mandarin films, there's Tamil films. They're all considered Malaysian cinema, but like the one that comes forefront is Sepet. So I feel that there's still room for this term to grow, but it's unfortunately right now that is the status quo.
I think to me, what stands out with Sepet And I think that you raise a really beautiful point about it being a Malaysian story. I have noticed that in some Malaysian movies, I think sometimes when you go in and it's monolingual, whatever language that may be, when it's a monolingual film, I find that sometimes, unless it is, trying to tell a story that is hyper-specific to a certain community, and we will, I think, bring up examples of that later on as well, it can, I won't say it feels exclusionary. I think what happens though is it does feel like, is this taking place in a Malaysia that I know? Is this taking place in a country that I live in? And then I think when you have that remove, it's a little bit difficult to regain it. I don't know if that's just me though.
I don't necessarily mind. The language is not a problem for me in the sense that I don't mind if all we ever saw on our screens largely was Malay, because for me, that's very Malaysian. But you're right, Lynn, in that it's who I see speaking Malay, who I see depicted in those scenes that makes me feel like I either belong in that story or I don't. And once again, that doesn't necessarily mean every film has to have your tick the boxes, one Malaysia cast, right? However,
the kids walking into sunset, never forget.
I know. But I don't know. I think the problem is that overwhelmingly also, sometimes you can tell who the films are being made for. And by and large, I still think that we fall into the category of Tamil Malaysian films are still largely made for Tamil audiences, Malay for Malay audiences, Mandarin for Chinese audiences. And what you see on screen reflects that.
So I don't know if this happens to you guys as well, but when you watch like a Malaysian movie and they sort of speak in a way that you don't recognize or you know isn't the way people speak, for me, that's sort of like off-putting. And Sepit does it so well because there are mistakes in the dialogue. You can hear them sort of say something and then sort of backtrack and say something again. I don't know if that was just the way they improvised or how that worked out, but it's very, very, very natural the way they speak. And then there's use of like, it's multilingual. So you'll have like a sentence with all kinds of languages in it. And that sounds natural. And not all movies do that. I'm not saying all movies should, but for me, that sort of is it's a bit off when I know that's not how we speak, because you are so exposed and you know naturally how people speak, right?
But really, like coming, if I'm someone talking from the industry, it's really, they're always thinking about the mass. So talking about the masses, right? Perhaps you and me, this is how we speak, right? We speak rojak, we can understand Malay and English, we put in some Chinese, some Mandarin words, whatever. But like, we are like a really small group of people. I would even call it like, I know I live in Pinchi, but I guess I'm in this bubble. It's not spread out throughout the country, unfortunately. And most of the films, the big studio films, they need to reach out to everyone. And then it's really unfortunate, like I said, it's still much very racially segregated. But in a way, it's kind of sad because it also reflects the society that we live in. You know, we are still much very much segregated, apart from us people who live in this bubble. And then that's why we can really connect with Sipit because of like the mixed language. They sound like us, they talk like us. But like, that's why you don't see enough of films like Sipit, because they cater to such a niche market.
Well, Nadia, the thing I was curious about, right, is that we've been talking about language, and you're absolutely right. I think that it is a very bubbly kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. But is it something that you think about in your films? I mean, or when you are thinking about a story, making a movie, making a video, making anything, you know, do you think about language, and I suppose how do you approach it?
I think about it all the time, and then I will come across scripts that have kind of like mixed language. But when it feels that it's trying to enforce this idea of like, oh, this is how we speak, it becomes a little inauthentic. And then I start thinking about, okay, when I make this film, who am I making it for? And then the next step would be pitching this idea to the studios or to the funders or to the people who be investing. And like I said, it's like a really unfortunate situation that, you know, profit would always overrule, like, you know, social responsibility of wanting to show a more masyarakat in our films, to show that this is how we talk right now. So, I mean, in a way, I still have to think about that. And you know, like, you can't make a film out of nothing. It really depends on people wanting to invest in that. in your film, in your idea, and usually you just sway towards, okay, I'm just going to make a Malay film, you know, Malay-centric film, full of Malay people speaking Malay.
So, yeah. I will say, though, that I do think that the Malaysian film industry, much like many other, you know, content industries around the world, is struggling a little bit from the fact that we're moving more and more towards narrow casting, right? Because when I was growing up, honestly, I used to watch Yusuf Aslam movies like on TV all the time, you know, and they would be on. And that's the same with whether it was a Hindi film or a Tamil film mm-hmm. playing in the afternoon, because I have friends who don't speak those languages who, just by the sheer fact that there were only three channels, you would watch them. And so I'm actually not, I didn't mind at all that, you know, Maria Mariana was not really speaking to my experience. It was a fun movie and I watched it. However, as we move towards having more choice, I also think that you then make choices depending on what speaks to you the most. And we see that in everything, don't we?
So I was thinking about, we spoke about P. Ramlee a couple of days ago on Tuesday, and I was thinking about that and going like, so Nadia, you mentioned like segregation, and I'm wondering if that's something that has happened over time, or was it something that was always there? Because if I remember correctly, like Shamila said, I watched a lot of like Malaysian cinema growing up. And I'm not sure if this is true because we weren't around back then, but with P. Ramlee films, it sort of catered to everyone in the market. So I'm curious about that. Like, you know, is that something that changed with the box office, or was it something that was always there and sort of marketed differently, I guess?
I would imagine that it hasn't really changed much. But let me just track back to a point, actually. Like, actually, films are really universal. So that's why we are able to consume foreign film, you know. Like, Sharmila, if you watch Maria Mariana, if the story is engaging enough and you can relate to the characters and you will enjoy it, you know. So it's not really a problem. But in terms of, like, if... I think it just goes back to, if you wanted to create a film that is as racially united as Sipit, then we've still got a long way to go. It hasn't changed. I think it hasn't changed. I mean, it's a utopian dream sort of. But I think we can slowly take steps towards getting there, you know, by like if in our films, we make that conscious decision to include characters from other races as well, then, you know, you try to introduce this new concept, but you have to feel that you need to introduce it lah. Yeah, but it hasn't changed much, I think.
So tonight on Popcorn Culture, we are supercutting Malaysian cinema, diving into it from all forms. So I think we've had a little bit of an introduction, you know, talking about all the different things that we plan to cover. But after this, we're going to start diving into specific films. And we'd love to hear from you. What are some of your favorite Malaysian movies? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can call 7733-2900. And of course, you can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be right back. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Best flipping moments. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Second shot, close up muka Jan. Third shot, kita ambil over shoulder Jan. Tengah orang kampung shot tiga, aku ambil Jan.
Balik.
Over shoulder.
Balik, boleh nak cakap seorang in private. Malik nak Anna cakap sini, Anna cakap. Anna minta maaf pada Malik. Pada Daud, pada Jan, pada Zizi, pada Ibi, pada Encik Borhan, pada semua dalam production ni.
Minta maaf lagi.
Hey, entah you tak tidak. Drama lagi. Hey. Anna salah. Anna tahu Anna salah. Bagilah Anna peluang lagi sekali. Anna sumpah. Anna janji, promise. Anna tak bagi masalah lagi.
Sumpah. Semua ni mainan kau, Anna. Sebab cakap senang. Hei, dah banyak kali lah kau sumpah. Sumpah kau tu dah tak ada harga pada aku.
BFM 89.9, it's 7:53 and you're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And tonight, our guest, Nadia Hamza, who is a filmmaker. And we are talking today about Malaysian cinema. We're spending the whole hour devoted to that. And Actually, so you just heard a little bit of Shuhaimi Baba's Layar Lara. And that was a movie, I think, that Nadia, you wanted to talk about. Maybe you could tell us why.
It came out in 1997, but I just recently watched it again because I kind of wanted to watch movies from the 90s just to feel how, if they still feel timeless or do they feel dated. And when I watch Layar Layar again, it felt so fresh, still current. All the topics that they talk about in the film are still very much relevant. And that's why I wanted to highlight one of these films that, you know, I think should be rewatched by all of us again. Although it was released in 1997, even the way the cinematography was very sophisticated, and the language that they used, I feel like it's so far advanced than from whatever that we see right now. Right now, I feel like the local, right now there's a penchant for horror and action films. And I really crave for these other genres, you know, such as Layar Layar. Hence why I've been watching all these like films from the 90s.
I'm so glad that you suggested Layar Layar because when I think of 90s films, Layar Layar and Ringgit Kasurga are like the two things that always come to mind. You know, Shuhaimi Baba's, I think, known for particularly those films. Of course, later then she did Sundar Malam and so on. And what strikes me, you know, rethinking about those films is how they very much feel like the best of the Hollywood sensibility, if I may call it that, where it's very dialogue driven, it's very character driven. And I think that's why it's so fresh. It's not sort of catering to a trend. It's not jumping on the horror bandwagon. It's not trying to be gritty or a police drama. It's just telling very human stories. And unfortunately, I think now what it means to be a hit in Malaysian cinema tends to be the things that ride on trends.
Yeah. Go ahead, Nadia.
No. You go ahead.
No, because I was gonna ask. You know, talking about trends and stuff. Was it? I'm not sure how it worked in the beginning. Like in the 90s, were there trends to jump on in the first place, or did the trends come after? Stuff like horror, stuff like action. I think horror makes a lot of money locally. That's like the biggest trend, right? But was it like that in the 90s? So it's a chicken and egg question. Did they start making a lot of horror movies and that became popular? So that became the default bandwagon to jump on if you wanted to make a lot of money at the box office? Or was horror always popular to begin with, so that started making money and everybody started getting on that bandwagon?
I feel like horror has always been a popular genre across the board, anywhere around the world, you know. And then comes like action films and then romantic comedies. It's just as of late, as of the past 3 to 4 years, it's the ones that have been making most bank. So a lot of studios feel the need to jump on this trend in order to gain the most profit. You know, if you came up with something like Layar Layar, something that is not horror, it's just human relationship, human drama. I'm not even sure right now, even with like, you know, we are post MCO, if people will be attracted to go to the cinema to watch and consume such a film. And they don't want to take that risk. So, but horror has always been a big thing. I mean, throughout the years, it's just as of late, it's like, okay, you want to make money, make a horror film. For sure, you will get your investment back.
And in all fairness, I think this is also something that we are seeing internationally, right? It's not something limited to our market. Horror movies just make bank everywhere. All right, I don't think we have enough time to deep dive into our films on this side of the hour, but Arvin, do we have any messages?
Yeah, we have a messages from Syed Amirul, who says that Songlap menyesal tak tengok di wayang, kalau tak mesti dah 10 kali pergi tunjuk support. And AJ says, or Muaz says, sepit dah tahu dah jawapan dia. We have a WhatsApp from Long Long, who says that Golden Ginchu 1 and 2, A Journey of Happiness, Ola Bola, Kepung Gangster 1 and 2. Support locals, those movies bring the entire nation together like how Lee Chong Wei and Malaysian national football does.
Nice. All right. Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We want to know your favorite Malaysian films. And we'll be right back. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Bole for Malaysia. Ha. BFM 89.9, the business station.
குமார் அத்த ஸ்கூல் லீவுடா
ஏன்டா
ராமு சார் கருமாஜிடா இதா ராமு சார் சாவு கேண்டி சர்ஸ்
நீ அடிக்க மாட்டேன்டா அது நம்ம செய்யலப்பா பா நீ நம்ம கையில் சின்ன நான் செய்யலப்பா நான் செய்யலப்பா நான் செய்யலப்பா நான் சீக்கிரம் தோல்லப்பா நான் குளிக்கிறப்பா நான் குளிக்கிறப்பா நான் சீக்கிரம் தோல்லப்பா
BFM 89.9, it is 8:07. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Arvin and Shamila. And tonight, our guest, Nadia Hamza, a filmmaker whose film Motif came out in 2019. And Nadia is joining us because it is the day after Malaysia Day and we wanted to take the opportunity to talk about Malaysian cinema. And I'm really enjoying, actually, the amount of languages we're hearing in the clips on our show tonight, which is rare. Mm-hmm. You just heard there a little bit of Jagat, directed by Sanjay Kumar. And I think that we've been leading up to this question. And what do you guys think are defining Malaysian films? We started off talking about Sipit and kind of what that encompasses, but I think we didn't really get to other examples. And Sipit does occupy a fair amount of the public imagination, but there are others.
I think we've mentioned a few others. I'm going to pick Jagat for me, at least in the last maybe 5, even maybe 10 years, as a defining film. I think because, again, like what Nadia said about Sepet, it was one of those films that it was almost entirely in Tamil, and yet it crossed so many boundaries. It resonated with so many people. And for me personally, I mean, I'm not even someone who can identify with that storyline. And yet I understand how important it is that these stories get told, real stories of what it means to live in Malaysia today.
And even the way they filmed it, right? It looks like a documentary, sort of. It's gritty. There's a lot of grain to it. I remember going back to Bentong in Pahang, my mom's hometown, when I was a kid. And there are a lot of places that actually look like that. Before Bentong developed into the big town that it is today, the smaller areas and the sort of like nooks and the corners, they look exactly like what they do in the film. And I think it's that sort of like authenticity. So you're right. Like, it's the same for me. It's I went out to watch it. I remember watching it and the cinema was sort of almost packed, like 80% watching the film. I remember the news that it made and the kind of waves that it was creating, saying that, you know, there is this film shot like, you know, almost guerrilla style and how realistic it looks. So if you ask me, yeah, in the last 5 years, I would say that defines it.
For me, I would say one turning point is Police Evil, the very first one. Mm. It's an all-around really entertaining film. It doesn't really matter if it borrowed like a lot of the concept and the shots or whatever from Bad Boys, but the fact that it was made by like these three boys, and like one is Chinese, one is Malay, one is Indian, and they came together and they came up with this film, and it was super entertaining. And it became a blockbuster and kind of like just set the tone for like other police-oriented films. For me, that was kind of defining, like, oh, okay, you can make something entertaining and make bank too. So, yeah.
What about you, Lynn?
Well, this is a tough question because I think whenever it comes to Malaysian art, whether it's cinema, books, stories, I struggle with the idea of a defining thing of its form. Mm. I just think that that's a really tricky question. So I'm going to default to recentness, and also because I didn't get to join you guys for the P. Ramlee show. So I've recently been watching a fair amount of P. Ramlee, and I understand why people, I mean, firstly, the charm is just, I don't know, like marks 120 out of 100. But I also understand why it is that people feel such a sense of nostalgia and desire to continue occupying this world that P. Ramlee P. Ramlee films did, right? It's because it has, we use this word a lot, but it has a very lived-in quality. And at the same time, it has a very utopian, this is what Malaysia could be, should be, was, is no longer. And so I think it's interesting watching those films now, because while they're really, really funny and very charming and, you know, just really fun to watch, they're also somewhat bittersweet. And so in that sense, it's kind of a, if not a defining Malaysian film, it's at least a defining Malaysian film going experience. This idea of, you know, what am I watching? What am I participating in? So yeah, like that's my roundabout answer.
I'm actually curious to hear from Nadia whether, you know, from your perspective, do you think that there's a current, if we look at films now, Malaysian films now, is there something happening now that we can kind of place under one umbrella? What is Malaysian cinema today?
That's a really loaded question, and I find it like, I think it's really difficult to answer. I can't even wrap my head around it, you know. Yeah. I don't know how to answer that.
Really. And I think that's indicative almost where we are, because I mean, if you look at Police Evo and Jagat and Bunohan and Boboy Boy, you know, they're all such different films. Or you know, Ola Bola, they're all such different films.
And they were all successful in their own right.
Yes,
yes, that's true. Mm. I think we're also forgetting that as of last year, they were really, really successful animated films. And suddenly, like, you know, there was Agent Ali, which I enjoyed tremendously. And then there's Bobo Boy, Ipin Ipin. And they're making, I mean, they're really bringing in the crowd back into the cinema. And we can't ignore that fact either. So, like, I think it's a loaded question. And I don't think we can put, like, a big umbrella theme or whatever to what Malaysian cinema is. It's just really hard. This is so much.
It's so diverse, right?
Yeah, so diverse, exactly.
Hmm.
But you know, one thing that I am curious about is whether or not, I suppose, whether or not the hunger that we see or the success that we see in the local blockbusters, the ones that do well, that spawn sequels, you know, that really bring people, when we could, out to cinemas, does that then spill over into a general desire to watch Malaysian films, or is it still, you know, kind of circling the genres that we've been talking about? Horror movies, action, police dramas, sports movies. I think these are all categories that we know and that kind of reliably churn out a certain number of titles every year. But what about, what about other films that don't maybe meet these neat categories? Do you think that there is a spillover effect for the audience at least?
Well, there is a slight spillover effect. Let's say there's like a big horror film that opens up in the cinemas. It's a local horror film and everybody is talking about it. Everybody wants to watch it. They will go watch it once, they watch it twice. And then suddenly they become very aware of other local films that are playing in the cinema. And if you're lucky and your film is not horror, and suddenly people are in this like very patriotic mode, like, oh, we're going to go watch a Malaysian movie, you know, like patriotic today. And then they might watch your film. But in general, I think, and I am really trying not to sound negative, because like this is where, I really work in the industry. There are still a lot of people who have like serious doubts about the standard of Malaysian films, and you'll be like, ah, that thing off, and I won't watch Malaysian films lah. They're just bad. So, but slowly, we're sort of getting there. So with more, you know, so it's a good thing, even though like the horror, the action films are making most in the box office, there will be that spillover effect, and this will in a way, allow for other films of other genres to have space and room for the audience to enjoy. So I welcome this box office thing. Whatever. It's okay. It's all really healthy, seen in a positive light.
And I guess, since Motive came out last year, what was that like releasing it for you? I mean, not so much of course the making as well, but because we're talking about cinemas and box office, what was it like releasing it into the marketplace? How did that feel?
It was very nerve-wracking because it took such a long time for me to make it and then to edit it. I sat on it for 2 years before releasing it into the Malaysian cinema. And it's not your typical horror film. There's no romance in it. Like, it deals with a very serious issue. There's a female lead character, which is actually quite rare. So I was really kind of surprised with the response. People have been people were very encouraging, but you know, it didn't make bank, of course, because it's not the typical box office film. But you know, for me, it's like you just have to like look past that and like just try to be better in the next one. So, you know, although I didn't really make much in the cinema, but I understand that there is an audience for whatever I turn out next. So that enough is a reward by itself for me.
So we've been asking for your favorite Malaysian movies throughout the show. Arvin, what have we got?
Yeah, so we've got one from Prabha who says Kami from 1982. It's a Patrick Yeo film and is one of the best Malaysian movies I've seen, shamelessly overlooked at the awards. Ikwan says All Maman Khalid Zombies and Hantu Kak Lima, sure win. I really love them. We have this message from Predit who says, I'm a Yasmin Ahmad fan too, love all her movies. One favorite particular is Talent Time. Recently, Ola Bola was really good too. I share the same thought that I look for movies that I feel has a Malaysian feeling in terms of the mixed culture, how they speak and so on. And we have one from Anwar who says that language accent discussion is interesting with the growing number of urban Malaysians speaking with an American accent. How will we define the Malaysian voice? Which I thought was an interesting comment.
That is
such an interesting comment. and I guess that speaks to what we started the show off with, which is this idea that in some ways, the industry is segmentized, right? This idea that certain movies are telling certain stories for certain audiences. So I don't know whether there's such a thing as an urban Malaysian voice. I hope not, in the sense that I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, but, so I think it comes back to authenticity, doesn't it? I mean, if you're depicting a character that went to a Malaysian school and works in KL and didn't really live abroad, why does that person have an accent versus if you are telling the story of someone who studied overseas? So again, I think sometimes putting more thought into the story you're telling would give you some natural answers.
For me, I'm just going to blame the fact that, I mean, this show is because we watch that much of pop culture and that many movies that come into Malaysia, and we're exposed to all that entertainment. And I think that's where the accents come from. Like, we are heavily, heavily exposed. A lot of us are like really westernized. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I just think it's the stuff that we grew up with. So I'm pointing my finger at that and blaming that.
Outside of that, I really loved the variety of messages, the variety of recommendations that came in, spanning the decades too. So that's really nice. Mm. Please let us know, do you have a favorite Malaysian film? You know, do you go to the cinema to watch Malaysian films? You can call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be playing out now with a little clip from another Malaysian movie, which is The Journey, directed by Chew King Guan. Here we go.
Hi, my name is Benji. I don't know how to tolerate his conservative backward thinking.
结婚系一件大事噶嘛，应该请晒我哋老同学。
Hey, 阿公啊，cepatnya
masa berlalu.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Jay, dalam bandar ini ada beribu taksi, beribu customer. Takkan saya nak ingat semua orang kan?
我们这边没有那么多钱吗？
当然看得出你们是真的没有那么多钱啊，但是有些东西是我们眼睛看不到而已。
Tuan, yang mempunyai taksi itu dah muncul balik.
Tak boleh obat.
Pasal kau cuang Datuk.
Mai, tolong kau. Kau yang kau di mai lupa. Kau jangan buat apa-apa
isi aku. BFM 89.9, it's 8:23. You're listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin, as well as our guest, Nadia Hamza, who is joining us because today we're talking about Malaysian cinema. And you just heard a little tiny clip of Fly By Night, which was directed by Zahir Omar. And so I think with that then, That's one of the more recent films, I think, that we've played today, although everything's kind of lived in the 1997, post-1997 period. Mm-hmm. And I guess, Nadia, I'm curious to know what films in the last, I don't know, couple of years, or what is going on within the industry that you find exciting or renewing at this point in time, where you're like, yes, this is a really good place to be?
So it was kind of really dire at the end of last year when the smaller films like my film and Fly By Night, which was directed by Zahir, who's also a friend of mine, you know, didn't really do great in the box office. It didn't have that much ticket sales as opposed to the bigger films like the horror films, action films. However, there's one particular film, and I have to highlight this. It was it's called Roh, by my friend Amir Azwan, produced by Kuman Pictures, which is spearheaded by Amir Muhammad. So they were supposed to release right before MCO happened. And I think Amir was also kind of under the pressure of like, maybe we should release this on like a streaming platform because we don't know when the cinemas are going to open again. But he held on to that. And when it was released in August, it managed to make... it managed to hit ₱500,000 in ticket sales. And that's really, really healthy because, RMCO, you can't fill up the cinema only like 50%. You can only fill up the cinema up to 50%. So like, and Roh is not your traditional horror mainstream film. It's very, it's a slow burn. So to know that even within this new norm, where people are, you know, maybe a bit afraid of going to the cinema because of all its stress and whatever, they were willing to travel to go watch this film that got some traction by word of mouth. And that for me is very, very positive, and it makes me very excited that, oh, people are willing to accept such films. So we can make films that are not just horror per se and like action films per se. You know, there's room for slow burns, for different kinds of films, and Malaysian audience will be open to that. So yeah, that is what is really exciting me right now, excites me the most right now.
I'm really glad you brought up Roh, because when all the news was happening a couple of months ago, just about a month ago, about how well Roh was doing, it got me thinking about how, I mean, I feel like we might have said horror films in a way that doesn't do justice to the genre. I don't think the problem itself is that Malaysia makes a lot of horror films. Because if that's what happened with the Thai film industry, for instance, right? They make so many horror films, but it's also about making those films well. There's no reason why something can't sit at both horror and quality storytelling. And I'm glad that films like Roh are coming out because they are capitalizing on the genre while also using it to raise the level of filmmaking here. And I think that's really a positive move.
I've heard a lot of good things about Roh, actually, from like friends and people going on to watch movies, saying that it's very... they used a lot of words that... I don't want to say you wouldn't normally use for Malaysian films, because that's not fair, but they used a lot of words that I wouldn't have expected them to use. And they say that the storytelling is very different, it's very unique, it takes a unique approach to the way that they introduce the horror element in the film itself. So yeah, I just want to say that... I mean, shout out to that. I've heard a lot of positive things.
So, We've been asking people for their favorites, and I believe that more messages have been coming in.
Yes, so we have, I'll go through the tweets first. So a few tweets, we have one from Sheng Chui who says that Pendeka Bujang Lapo. We have Frizada who says Mera with M. Nase Awi and the late Hani Mohsin. Jason O says Sepet because nothing like it in Malaysian cinema. The honesty in Yasmin Ahmad's works are unparalleled even to this day. Muna Rafat says Laya Lara, for I feel that they were all natural, don't feel a bit they were acting in it. Shamil says Adi Wiraku because it is the only film, a local film, managed to make me weep in the cinema. And Shongan says, not a movie, but I can say Kopitiam. Can I say Kopitiam from the 90s sitcom? So many memories of the show that I can cry and laugh to, and the opening theme, exclamation mark.
You know, it is unfair that we did not, we said we were talking about Malaysian cinema, but yeah, Kopitiam, I don't think we can say you're not allowed to bring that up.
Yeah, for sure. We have a few WhatsApps as well. So this comes from Michael, who says that I don't follow much of Malaysian films apart from those famous ones like Sepet. But one film that left a good impression on me was XX Ray. Seems like a good take for sci-fi genre. I think we haven't touched on sci-fi, like Malaysian sci-fi a lot. Maggie Bess says, I think P. Ramlee's films is still high up on my list because he comes across as being natural. He was bending over backwards to accommodate that Muhibah factor. My favourite for the Muhibah effect would be his Alibaba, and my most unfavorite is his Sergeant Hassan, where it was pushing the patriotism a bit. Somehow it was not the P. Ramlee I knew, and in my opinion, a bit propaganda-ish. We have another one from Danny. Danny says that thank you for talking about Malaysian films. Definitely Sepet, Gubra and Talentime. I even enjoyed Songlap as it had an underlying critique on teen pregnancy, sexual abuse and baby trafficking. On the creative side, I would like to single out Bunohan. I feel creatively that that film is the pinnacle of Malaysian filmmaking. The three elements of passion, murder and haunting memories all in one.
Those are some great suggestions. But Maggie's comment on propagandist or propaganda rather was interesting because there's always that line, isn't it? I mean, we talked about wanting films that represent everyone, but there's also that line where we don't want to be force-fed an ideal that may not necessarily reflect reality.
Well, actually, I wanted to, pick up on that, but also this idea of naturalist or natural, because that, I think, was a word that came up in a number of those messages as well, that this was a very natural film or this was a very natural performance. And I wonder about that. You know, do we expect that same level? I rarely hear that word being applied to Hollywood. Nobody says, I loved that film because it was so natural. And yet it's something that for Malaysians, I don't know whether it's a question of authenticity. I don't know. What do you guys think?
I think if you use the word natural in like a Hollywood film, then no one's going to go watch it. It's normally for like those indie films that win a lot of awards and everyone's like, yeah, I'm not going out to see that. Like, you know what? I'm not going out to see natural. So it is like interesting. I didn't think of that. But yeah, I don't know why. Maybe it's because we know the places and the faces and the people. So we expect them to sound like the friends we know. And we don't want that from Hollywood films because we're not going to see that. We're going to see like gloss and boom, bam, big effects and stuff. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
But this is my thing, like, why are Malaysians such, like, suddenly they're, like, critics of their own films, but it's okay for Hollywood films to be unnatural. Like, they're really, like, very critical of our own films. It's tricky.
So I think, for me, the natural part comes, I like to call it, even in theatre or in Malaysian books, right, the misplaced laugh. Or the unnatural ma, yes. You know? We know how certain things sound or how certain people behave. And because it's so familiar, we become extra critical. Like, no one in that situation would really sound like that. Versus who really knows what an older woman in New Jersey sounds like when she's yelling at her kid, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's unfortunately... one of the problems with making films in such a familiar, and also familiar to a very small number of people, because they did a Rajinikanth movie set in KL. And I spent 3/4 of it being really unhappy because I felt like no one sounded like a Malaysian Indian person. But no one in India cared.
I thought you were going to say like Entrapment with Sean Connery and how natural and how authentic that was.
Yes,
you know, the Twin Towers are in Malacca.
Yeah. Of course they are. Of course they are.
Okay, so everyone's a critic, clearly. I think that's what we're getting from that. But also the recommendations, again, and as always, were really, really lovely. I think that lots of good ones to watch. So with that then, I guess I wanted to end on this note, which is, what is the next Malaysian film that you think you're planning to see? Because I'm now quite excited to watch Roh. I'm generally somebody who's kind of a scaredy cat, but I've recently become... more enamored than usual of Malaysian ghosts and ghouls. So I like the idea of kind of participating in that a little bit more, and Roh sounds like a nice place to get going. Everyone else?
I want to watch Motif. Because I never watched it. It had like a really short... Did it have a theatre run?
It played around... it played for 3 weeks in the cinema.
Yes, and yeah. I actually heard really nice things about it, but then I didn't catch it in the cinema. And now that I've met you, I think I owe it to you to watch it.
We haven't found a home for it yet. A lot of people have been asking, but once we find a home for it, once it's on any streaming platform, of course I'll let everybody know. But right now it's just not anywhere. It cannot be found.
I'll be patient.
I want to watch Roh, but the truth is I am terrified of local horror stories. Like, I love horror. I can watch any horror story.
They're too natural.
They're like way too natural, because I recognize the places. I recognize the highways. I know where they're driving. And I'm like, this is way too close to home. It's literally in home. So I stay away from like local horror films. But honestly, I'm guilty of not going out to watch Roh, but if it ended up on like a streaming service, if Netflix had it, I would definitely put it on. And after all the buzz that I've heard, I definitely want to check it out.
The thing is about Roh, it's not your typical horror film. You know, you don't really see the ghosts. There are no jump scares. It's really a slow burn, and you really have to sort of immerse yourself in the story. That's why it was really surprising that it made this much. So you guys don't have to be scared.
I feel more scared now that you said that.
It's like a mental horror thing. Kind of seeps through you. Yeah, don't worry about it. You'll sleep at night with the lights on.
Okay.
This is a solid horror movie recommendation, I think. That's one way to go about it. Nadia, what do you think you're going to watch next?
Oh my God. I think there are some really good action films coming up very soon. I've seen a few teasers or trailers here and there. I can't really put like a name to them yet because they haven't really been officially announced, but I'm really, really excited about that, about those action films. Yep.
Nice. Nadia, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. Although I'm not really like super academic about like Malaysian history and cinema, but you know.
Not at all. So, of course, you just heard that Nadia Hamza, whose feature film Motif will be available at some point. She will let us all know where we can find it if we miss the cinema run. But yes, Nadia's a filmmaker, and together we've been talking about Malaysian cinema. As always with these recommendations, you can keep them coming even after we've left the airwaves, because we always look for recommendations. So tell us your favorite Malaysian movies. Again, you can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. You can write to us at movies@bfm.my, and also get in touch with us, just lots of places, at BFM Popcorn on both Twitter and Instagram. This is Popcorn Culture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.